Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And welcome into the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's off to a good start to their day. We got a lot of things to get into today. Going to be a good show. Going to be a big show today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I mean, I'm good. This studio is absolutely clean as a whistle.
It is.
Absolutely fantastic. I think the three of us all did very good work. I really did clean toilets, by the way, yesterday. I want that on the record.
I would go ahead and award Rex Road, I think, team MVP of 102.5 The Game cleanup day.
I don't know about that. Actually, I thought Keiser was really getting after it a little bit.
Keiser remained a little sassy as he was doing it.
Yeah, so. He was talking a lot of trash. But, I mean, we've kind of learned. Don't mess with Keiser.
Apparently so.
Right?
Fun times.
Just in there, that smile, like you just don't know what's going to happen. It's good. He's kind of got.
How
are
we feeling today,
edge.
Nick?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Yeah, lots of good cleaning. Yesterday, Joe and I killed it over there in both of those spare studios that we have. And then
Kuharski was sitting there watching you.
That's right. Yep. Jared taking a whatever of a break and taking some phone calls and closing the door.
Yeah, did Jared do anything? I think he started doing stuff for like 5 minutes. All of a sudden, I never saw him.
Wait a minute. I don't know. Manual labor? What is this? Can't do it.
Then he's like talking to me about, have you ever had a job? I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, when you were talking about
listing all my jobs.
Have you ever had a job?
Yeah, Joe, you and I worked at a grocery store growing up, so there's something I didn't know.
Oh, you did too.
Yesterday, yeah.
Were you a bagger like me?
No, I worked in groceries, so I ran stock. So there you go.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was also a stock boy at a department store in Virginia, too.
Wow.
For the record. Pizza delivery, gas station attendant, a cafeteria worker in a dorm. Should I keep going?
Man of many talents.
I was a hot trucker. Yeah. You know what a hot trucker is?
That's
where you bring the huge vats of food, but you got to, you know.
Okay.
And then when you get promoted up to milk, that's a great job.
Ooh,
you put the big bags of milk in the milk thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a much better job.
Man of many talents, Joe Rex Road.
Yes, thank you.
You're on the program.
Jared listed no jobs for me. I don't know what, like collecting football cards? I don't know.
You imagine Jared, like, taking an order somewhere. I just feel like it would be a disaster.
Now, why do you want to order that?
We'll get to your order here in a minute, but did you see the Titans practice yesterday?
That's a trash order.
Joe's going to retire and make mints with that rappers.
Oh, boy.
His own brand.
God, I'm trying to forget about that, Nick, please.
We got a lot to get into today on the program. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, will join us at 7:15. The NHL trade deadline is getting underway now. A lot of trades coming through yesterday, including a former Predator on the move. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30. NFL free agency beginning next week, so we'll get Charles's perspective on that. Looking forward to that. And the Tennessee Volunteers winning the SEC regular season championship last night with another win on the road against South Carolina. They win 66-59, and Tennessee gets it done. And this impressive stretch continues, Joe, and that's where we begin today. So this four-game stretch that we've highlighted, Tennessee right now is 3-for-3. They've got Kentucky coming up on Saturday to close out the regular season. But we know they are going to be the SEC champions. They have won the SEC regular season championship. They've won at least three out of these four big games that we've circled. We'll see if they can finish the job at home on Saturday against Kentucky, who, by the way, beat Vanderbilt last night 93-77. And an SEC regular season title for Tennessee, a program that doesn't have a whole lot of those. Big stuff last night for the Vols, and another huge win on the road.
Yeah, it's a big time, man, for them to win all these games. And I know this isn't your kind of game, 66-59, but that was, you know, just from, well, first of all, from the people who were there and their accounts, but also just from TV, I mean, that looked like one of the best atmospheres in college basketball this year, from what I could tell. And they handled it, man. They handled it, and they played their defense. Dalton Connect comes out and just, you know, he hits his first four threes. And at that point, things were kind of, you know, they were, you know, South Carolina was jacked up. The place was ready to go off, and he just kept silencing it with threes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he ends up with 26. But it's the three guys, Ziegler, Vescovi, and Adu, and then the defense, and Meshack late again. I mean, it's – so they go into the fastest, best offense in the country and one of the best atmospheres and win Saturday. Then they go into one of the slowest teams in college basketball, Lamont Paris, a Wisconsin Bo Ryan disciple, total grinder of a team, great team. He's going to be SEC Coach of the Year, and they win that style of game. I mean – like, they just keep getting it done. Like, yep. It's a special, special team. And, you know, outright SEC titles. Did you just, like, that was weird. I got, like, muted in the middle of that sentence for a minute. Is that you over there, Keezer? No? Whoa.
You hitting boards?
I think maybe we over-cleaned this microphone. It's, like, 36, 37. So, the SEC started in 32. So, 36, 37. I'm sure those teams were a blast
to
watch.
I'm sure they were.
You know, 43. And then 67, that was Ray Mears. And since then, they've had one of these, which was Bruce Pearl's 08 Lofton team, amazing team that won at Memphis and all that stuff. And that's it. Outright. You know what I realized, by the way? Just side note, Robbie, on this, as I just continue to just talk and talk and talk. I hate the – I would have been absolutely pulling my hair out if I covered the SEC back in, like, the 2000s when – you got credit for a share of a title for winning the division. They did it like divisions.
Yeah.
So Tennessee, they count like, I think, 12 SEC titles, but it's like, so you won the East, but the West winner was three games better. That's not a co-title.
Yeah.
But they count it that way. Yeah. So, but I do know outright titles. You're talking about six ever, one since Vietnam, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a
pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Well, we've talked about that. Like, everybody's going to focus in on the NCAA tournament with this group. But one thing I said, like, there's not some rich history of Tennessee men's basketball to point back to and say, yeah, well, who cares about an SEC championship? I mean, this is a big deal for this team. And they've done it in, like you said, I mean, it's fascinating to watch this path here because you mentioned the pace that Alabama plays with, going on the road, winning that game. It's a complete opposite in South Carolina. And, Joe, I mean, they might have to be prepared to score 85, 90 points at home on Saturday if they're going to win against Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think
like,
so.
It's just different ways of winning that this team is equipped to do. And, look, their defense is gonna give them a chance most every night. Their offense has come a long way this year. Obviously, Connect is a big part of that. And this is, I think, clearly the best team that Rick Barnes has had at Tennessee. And what's that going to translate to come tournament time? I don't know. But, I mean, last night, even for somebody like me who is a Tennessee fan, who I would describe myself as a casual college basketball fan, it was fun to watch. Like, it was fun to watch them close that out and close the deal last night and win an SEC title. And, you know, I value the SEC regular season title more than I do the tournament championship. And maybe they'll win both. We'll see what happens here. But – number one, it's a great moment for this team, for this group. It's a great moment for Tennessee basketball. And I saw a couple people tweet this out last night, especially if they finish the job against Kentucky coming up. Like, if they win against Kentucky and they won the SEC regular season championship, which is the greatest conference in the sport this year, they win all four of these games to close out the season. Like, to me, regardless of what they do in the SEC tournament, strong one seed consideration. Like, they need to be a one seed.
Yeah, I agree for sure. You know, the Kentucky game makes it four straight top 20 ranked team. That's never happened before. They're 3-0. Yeah, so I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that, which is sweep Kentucky, win the SEC this year. How is this not the greatest Tennessee team? That's another argument.
Yeah.
But yes, no, I think the one seed, I mean, Arizona, they just don't have the same opportunity. I mean, you know, the Pac-12 is just, well, it's about to disappear. But also, they just don't have the same opportunity in that league that Tennessee does. So, I think if they beat Kentucky, you know, I guess if they were to lose the opener in the SEC tournament Arizona wins, you know, wins out, then, you know, it's close. It could go either way. I think if they – and here's another little hot take for me. I'm an advocate, especially because Charlotte is a Thursday site of them. You know, if it's not the end of the world if they don't win the SEC tournament and they don't play three straight days and then immediately turn around and have to play on Thursday.
Right.
I've just, you know, seen it before where teams can get their legs, you know, taken from out from under them because of stuff like that. But, yeah, they're awfully close to closing. I think Lunardi switched. Most of the people now have them as a one. But, yeah, like if they lost to Kentucky at home, does that go back? It's very close.
Yeah. Dustin from Hopkinsville says, these cats aren't the same cats. We got a defense now. Everyone's healthy, three games in a row, so ready for this dogfight.
Dustin,
to which my response was, they literally just gave up 102 points to Arkansas less than a week ago.
Yeah, Dustin, I watched the first half last night against Vanderbilt, and I will say there was a late run to keep Vandy to 40 at the half. It's not the worst, but I don't know if you're beating the drum with the defense right now. It's definitely better than it was a few weeks ago when I was like, what is happening right now? Is Cal not practicing? But no, I mean, look, I think it could be a great game because
sure.
Dillingham, Shepherd, I mean, all those guys, I mean, they are absurdly loaded. I mean, they are ridiculous offensively. So no, I think it'll be a fun game, and they got a shot. They absolutely have a shot in TBA.
Tennessee wins the SEC regular season championship last night with their win on the road against South Carolina. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. What does that win mean for Tennessee basketball, this program, and how do you feel about this team as tournament time is now just right around the corner starting next week in SEC play? 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Tennessee wins against South Carolina last night, 66-59, and they wrap up the SEC regular season title. Taking your thoughts on that, the SEC tournament here in Nashville next week, and Tennessee feeling pretty good right now about their pursuit for a number one seed. It's interesting because I kind of view it as two different seasons in a way, Joe, because this one, like when you win the SEC regular season title, we just went through the history of Tennessee basketball. There's not a whole lot of these. And I think regardless of what happens from here on out, there's an appreciation level that I think Tennessee fans should have for this team, for this group, and what they've accomplished. And now, as they wrap this up, and I know there's a big game against Kentucky, and that's your big rival in basketball, so you always want to take down Kentucky. But after that, I mean, it's SEC tournament time, and then it's NCAA tournament time. And the team ultimately is going to be judged by what they do in the NCAA tournament. And that's fine. I just think that I kind of view it two different ways. There's the pre-tournament part of this where it's like, all right, this is a pretty cool thing that they've just done here and that they've accomplished. And then once we get to a couple weeks from now and the actual tournament begins, then that's going to be where the pressure really ramps up for this group, for Rick Barnes, for the team that they put together, the veterans that they have. And, you know, I heard you guys on Jared versus Joe yesterday talking about, like, you know, what sort of run do they have to go on in the tournament to call it a successful season? And, you know, I kind of land in the ballpark of, I mean, in order for the fan base to consider it a success, you're probably at least going to have to get to the Elite Eight. Like, that's the way I kind of view it. So, I mean, it's hard for me to get to. It must be the Final Four or bust for it to be a success. But that's why I kind of view this in two different windows of what's happening here. The pre-tournament part of this, where I think if you're a Tennessee fan who's watched Tennessee basketball for a long time, there should be a certain level of appreciation for this. And then I fully am aware in 2 weeks from now, all we're going to be talking about is, well, Rick Barnes and the tournament, can they figure this out come tournament time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to. You do have to kind of compartmentalize it. I mean, this team will always be remembered for – I mean, look, the fun of watching this team, the greatness of Dalton Knecht in his 1 year, but also you kind of match that up with, like, James and Vescovy, and that's going to be their senior day. on Saturday, and just what those guys have done for so many years. There's a lot to love about this team. That is not going to be changed by the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, I think you definitely have to get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, you know, if you want to talk about what you need to do. To me, if you're a one seed especially, plenty of one seeds lose the eights or nines. That happens, but you got to do it. You don't want to be the one that does.
Yeah.
The one seed being a one seed, just by the numbers, by history, that greatly increases your chances of advancing and getting to the Final Four and all that stuff. So, you know, but you get to the second week of this tournament, you know, I mean, it's the you're gonna be facing teams that are very, very capable of beating you. But at least get to that second weekend is how I always kind of look at it. And yeah, look, I mean, one time ever Tennessee has made the Elite Eight. I was there that day.
You were
in St. Louis. And Draymond, nice
didn't
pass.
Go well for
nice
Tennessee
pass, Draymond. Draymond was a little chunkier back then. What's that?
Didn't go well for Tennessee that day.
No, it was a great game. But so you got to keep that in mind too. But at the same time, look, I mean, they have elevated the expectations to their credit, to Rick Barnes' credit. And there is frustration because they've had a couple other teams that could have definitely gone deeper. So, yeah, the pressure is going to be massive on this team. It's really an interesting dynamic because I do think that some of these guys have been through so much of this. It can't help but pay off, I would think. And I watch the way that they are reacting, you know, Saturday, last night, just the way the crowd's against them. They're never going to face another crowd like that, by the way.
No.
But when you're a favorite, the building turns against you in the NCAA tournament. They just have a poise about them, you know, and it definitely helps to have that dude just, okay, go get us a bucket, please. And I just think that they're equipped in every way for this thing.
Michael on the text line says, can we say that Tennessee has taken our expectations higher than we ever thought they could
to a
place that even the blind man can't see?
Is that the lyric?
Yeah, man.
Is that the lyric? I didn't even realize that was the lyric.
We need more.
That's
Creed.
The Scott Stapp lyric. Blind man could see.
I don't think he says blind man.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I didn't realize that was the poetry of Scott Stapp. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. We can never get too far away from Creed or Sweaty Mints on this program.
It's always lurking around the corner. You know, just a constant, ever present thing. Scott Stapp. No, I mean, they're gonna come to town next week, and it'll be, I'm sure, the SEC tournament next week will be. Whole lot of Kentucky fans, whole lot of Tennessee fans. I'm sure there'll be some Alabama fans that come up. That's going to be probably the majority of what we see. I mean, how cool.
Auburn will have a good presence, be strong.
That's for sure.
Auburn will be strong.
And as we know, and the Tennessee basketball account pointed this out last night, we know who Dalton Connect is going to get at least one vote now for SEC
That's
Player
right.
of the Year.
Bruce Pearl. He has absolutely put it out there. That's right.
Whoever wins the league, their player will get my vote. So now we know. Dalton Connect will get at least one vote.
He's got at least one. Yeah.
So
congratulations.
But I mean, now there's an opportunity. You've won the SEC regular season title. You've got a chance now to. I mean, you're going to get a significant bye next week in the tournament. Could you roll through the regular season title and then the SEC tournament title and get yourself a one seed in the NCAA tournament? I mean, you're racking up accomplishments at that point that. There's not a long list of in the history of this league, in the history of this program. If you could roll through that, like a back to back weeks of SEC regular season title, and if you could win the tournament, that'd be a heck of a couple week run there for the Vols.
Yeah. Well, first of all, cheers to anybody who is covering the Vols, and we get a noon game on Friday. Cheers to us. Mm. Okay, I know Mike Wilson and I are just gonna dance in the streets about that one. Well, think about that. So the outright title, it's funny that they had a tournament. They actually did have a tournament in the 40s. So John Maurer's Vols.
What was that like?
What's that?
What was that like?
I don't know. But John Maurer's Vols in 41 and 43 both won it outright and won the tournament.
You weren't there?
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Well, I was listening to it on my radio. I was too young.
That's good.
And I think that might be it, right? I mean, they didn't win the tournament in 08, did they? I don't think so. No, Georgia won the SEC tournament in that Lofton year. So, yeah, it's rare. And obviously Rick Barnes has the 22 tournament title to go with now two regular season titles. I'm still sticking with beat whoever the 8 or 9 is that you play on Friday. It could be like Texas A&M,
right.
Could be Mississippi State, somebody like that, and then lose the next day. and rest your
just
legs.
Rest up.
That's, now, I understand that all the Vols fans are going to be in that building or scream at that idea, and these guys are competitors, and they would scoff at it. If it happens to if it comes to pass, like Kentucky hits a three at the buzzer to beat you in the semis, might not be the worst thing. But no, it's going to be an amazing tournament. And 19 was that was one of the great. The 19 Kentucky Tennessee semifinal
was great.
It was half and half in that building. And as anybody who goes to the SEC tournament knows, half and half with Kentucky is very rare. They, yep. Their lives are built around traveling to wherever the Cats are going to be. And they know they're going to be in Nashville. So, like, it's – but they had half the building orange, and that game was amazing. You almost forgot that, like, Auburn blew out Tennessee the next day in the final.
Josh in Kentucky says, Tennessee should be the one seed just for being the SEC regular season champs. SEC is the toughest league in the country, regardless of what the talking heads say about the Big 12. It's from Josh in Kentucky.
Well, first of all, it's very close. In fact, I went through it. I went back and forth in comments on my comment from the Alabama game, and someone was like, I'm here, it's the Big 12. And I was like, no, no. And then I looked at it, and actually RPI, Big 12, has moved past. It's very close. But just understand, Josh, talking heads, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the committee does what they do. They don't do things like, oh, well, they won the toughest league, so they should be the one seed. League schedules are very imbalanced. So they're just breaking down every single game and all the metrics, and they're digging in on the numbers. Now, Tennessee's schedule in the SEC has been tough. In an imbalanced schedule, that's where I'm so impressed by this. They had to play Alabama both places, South Carolina both places, Kentucky both places.
Yep.
So they have earned
Auburn
it.
Auburn too, right?
No, they did not have
did
to go
play
to,
Auburn once?
They did not have to go to Auburn, okay. Yeah. So, but still, I mean, I think that's probably as tough as anybody. But, yeah, I mean, it's like that's just not what you give a one seed for. You give it for, like, it's your quad one, your quad two, and all those things. But they're racking up the quad one wins. I don't – if they win Saturday, man, I think it's really tough for them to not get a one seed.
I would agree. I mean, that would be just a heck of a run to close out the season there. And again, I mean, I think if they win Saturday and they win the Friday game of the SEC tournament, then it's probably a lock at that point, right? I mean, it would be really difficult.
You said if they win the SEC tournament?
No, if they win Saturday and then they win one game in the SEC tournament, I still think it's going to be hard to keep them out of a one seed at that point.
It's hard for me to imagine. Arizona has no quad one here. Like, who in the – so the Pac-12 has, yeah, two teams right now in the field. Two. I feel bad. Not only is the Pac-12 disappearing, they're going out with a whimper and hoops. I mean, Arizona's really good. Like, they can't even really do anything in their conference tournament. Who is the other team, by the way? Because I know it's not USC or UCLA.
This is your area.
I know. I'm like, who the heck is – I don't even know who the other Pac-12 team – they better hope they play that team in their conference tournament. I'll tell you that much. But, yeah, I just – Arizona's had a lead, but the resume is starting to really tilt the other way toward Tennessee with a clear edge now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Tennessee winning the SEC regular season championship. Also, Lionel Messi in town tonight, taking on Nashville SC. Some more fan outrage yesterday. We'll get to that. We'll get to the matchup itself. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards will be with us on the program here at 7:15. We're going to get into the NHL trading deadline, which had a lot of stuff going on yesterday. We'll get into that beginning in the 7 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Vols winning the SEC regular season championship, and, of course, a big one tonight for Nashville SC as Lionel Messi and Inter Miami come to town as well. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. Joe, final thoughts on Tennessee winning the SEC. I was reminded of this again last night, and I think everybody's going to focus in on Dalton Connect, which is – I get it. But I was reminded once again last night, and I didn't think he played that great last night, but just the subtle little plays that Ziegler makes is such a – it's such a difference for this team heading into the tournament, which they didn't have a year ago. And look, I'm not saying that if Ziegler was healthy a year ago that they're, you know, going to the Final Four and they're, you know, competing for a national championship. But he's come back. He's obviously healthy, and he's gotten better. And he is such a weapon for them out there. And again, you know, there are nights where he only scores 9 or 10 or 12, and he's not blowing you away with the scoring. But just the passing, the defense, the whole package, he's so important to what they do out there. And everybody's going to focus in on Connect, and I get it. They should. He's their best player. But Ziegler has been unbelievable for them this year.
Yeah, no, he really has. And, you know, in the South Carolina loss, Ziegler was like over 6, and that was still early. I mean, it was January. He's better, you know. I mean, I feel like in the last, like, month, 6 weeks or so, it's like, oh, now he's passed, all way past the ACL stuff, and he's even become a better player. Here and there, you know, he'll launch up a heat check or, you know, maybe you know, have a turnover or whatever, that, you know, gets a little bit. You know, he's not perfect, but, I mean, he's one of the best point guards in college basketball. And, you know, if he was 4 inches taller, he'd also – when he gets by people, which he does with ease, he'd also be finishing a lot more. You know. But he also gets that limitation, so he uses it to set people up and probe. And, yeah, I mean, he's a really, really smart player and a really good player. And, again, it's like you got the point guard – you got the star scorer, and then Jonas Adu, who actually last night at times I thought, you know, didn't play great, still had a big game, I think 14-9, and he had a bad game first time against South Carolina. So they got him too. And those three are that's where you start. Like every game you expect those three to give you a certain amount of production and good play. And then, you know, a guy like Mayshak again comes off late and makes a couple huge defensive plays. I mean, I know the South Carolina fans were furious, and I thought at first maybe he fouled Cooper on the three, but he did it. You know, he avoided him. So they've got the stopper, the point guard, the big man, another big man, scorer, the role players who could be coaches on the floor. You know, Vescovy's over there drawing stuff up on the board, all that stuff. They got a lot going for him.
Joe, the greatest soccer player in the world is in our city today. They are taking on Nashville SC tonight. And it's going to be, I think, a challenge for SC in this game. Number one, it would be a challenge anyway if everybody was healthy. Sam Surridge isn't going to play. And it doesn't sound like Hani Mukhtar is going to play either. Now, Gary Smith was a little less committed to the Mukhtar part of this. So maybe there's a chance Mukhtar could get out there and play tonight. But clearly, he will not be at 100%. If he does, and look, you need all hands on deck when you're taking on Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and company. So, going to be a big challenge for Nashville SC tonight to try to contain him and get a result in this game. Meanwhile, you have the fans still upset with the way the ticketing situation has gone down, and Nashville SC released a statement yesterday about their supporters section. So, there's the supporters section, and they've sold like seated supporter section areas where basically the premise is when you buy tickets in these areas, you're not supposed to have like opposing team's colors or be able to cheer for the opposing team.
Which is so weird, but yes.
It's what they do.
It's soccer.
So they released a statement yesterday, and I'll just read it real quick. This came from Nashville SC. No opposing team jerseys or colors will be allowed in the supporter sections, which is sections 106 through 110 of Geodis Park, for Thursday's Champions Cup match. Anyone entering this area in opposing jerseys or colors risks being removed from Geodis Park. Seated areas, which is sections 105 and 111 next to the supporter section, are now considered general seating and were mistakenly labeled seated supporter section. Opposing jerseys and colors will be allowed in the seated sections as well as other seated areas of the stadium. And it goes on to kind of explain the policies after that. Ends it with say, we apologize for any confusion that may have been caused here. And the fans are livid. Man, they're mad that the seated supporters section is now allowing what I'm sure will be lots of messy jerseys and Inter Miami fans in that one tonight. And they basically think that Nashville SC is making this up and that they're just trying to do another big money grab here.
Just selling out to open up the – yeah, well.
It's been an interesting week on the Nashville SC supporters and fan base section of this.
It has been. So we had the argument on Jared versus Joe. Is it bad business, apart from the supporter thing, But just, I mean, I guess it's tied together. But just, you know, the ticket prices in general, right? This is another one of those in-season tournaments, so it's an extra game. It's the CONCACAF Champions Cup, it's quarterfinal, so it's an extra game. It's not, so you buy season tickets. It's not on the schedule. You win your way to this game, right? Is it bad business? Is it bad business to ratchet up prices like this when a guy like Carlos – oh, I'm sorry, Lionel Messi is coming to town. Did Corey Curtis really do that?
I don't know, but I hope so. Carlos Messi! Jared found that pretty funny yesterday. Did. I don't know that I've seen Jared laugh like that before.
He did. He was chortling even though he had just taken another L. Hold this L and laugh your ass off, Jared.
Is it bad business? Look, my position on this has pretty much been, all right, do I love it for the season ticket holders? No. Do I understand it from the club point of view? Yes. And like you said, it's not a game on the season ticket members' schedule. It's an additional game. So they've had the first basically right of refusal to this thing. So honestly, I have not had a huge problem with the pricing part of this because, I mean, it's Messi and a lot of people are doing this, okay? And we knew that this was going to be the case to some degree when he came to the MLS. I will say the supporter section stuff the other day, even though quite frankly, like I find the idea of, well, you can't sit here because you're wearing the other team's jersey to be pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. So if that's going to be what it is, like the idea of them coming out with a statement at the end of the day yesterday and like, oh, well, it was mistakenly labeled. It's like, really? It was on your website.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a little fishy to me.
That seems a little, that's a little wonky. Yeah. But so it's like 4 to 5 times. And I said this on Jared's show. It's like 4 to 5 times sounds terrible because that was how it was set up. You know, is ratcheting, you know, making prices 4 to 5 times. The price, and I, like if it's 4 to 5 times like Titans tickets, okay, well now you're talking about $300, you know. I mean, the tickets are very affordable, you know, in general. So 4 to 5 times sounds worse than it is than like an $80 increase. $80 increase is nothing to sneeze at. Don't get me wrong. It's just I don't know. It's just not surprising to me, you know. I mean, I feel like when MLS got messy, I think everybody should have realized that. Clubs individually were going to leverage that to their benefit when they had an opportunity. And now Gentry wrote an interesting column in the Tennessean, you know, pointing out, like, I will say, like, last year when it built up to the Messi coming here, it was huge. And, it, you know, it was a different time of year, too. There was less going on elsewhere.
Sure.
I mean, there's a huge Preds game tonight. So what if it's not completely filled to the brim tonight?
Oh, there are fans talking about walking out. Like I've seen
doing the show up and then walk out, which I know we see in Premier League stuff.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to do it or not. I mean, I can tell you a lot of Nashville SC fans that I know are very mad about the way this thing has gone down. Which I get it. I don't necessarily totally agree with it, but I get it. If you're a season ticket holder, I understand the outrage. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brad. Brad, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hopefully you can hear me well. I'm trying to mute my radio here.
Good.
So season ticket holder myself. I'm also no dummy. I tend to not have an issue with it. We do get first option before they're released to the public at a reduced rate. I understand that, you know, we've got to make money and you got to get while the iron's hot. So myself, not a huge hater, as you will, of the policy. Do I wish it was cheaper? Absolutely. Do I want to pay more? No, not really. But did I? Yes. Because I want to see Messi, you know, in town. I did not go last year. So, you know, I get it. I'm not going to not go because of that. And I understand that the team's got to make the money while they can. So, but, you know, my two cents, but I, you know, we do get a reduced rated option before it even hits the street. And I don't know what that rate was. I didn't go back and check to see how it compared, but, you know, I bought my seats and it, as Joe mentioned, it's not a, It's not a part of the not a part of your regular season package. Right. You know that when you sign up for seats. So.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate it. I mean, that's kind of the way I view it. But that is, I can tell you, that's not a way a lot of the fan base views it. They're Nashville SC's in one right now with their fan base.
So what you're telling me is everybody except Brad is walking out tonight? Is
that
Brad's going to
Brad
be
enjoy
alone?
The game.
The Brad section?
Brad, there's a personal meet and greet with Lionel Messi out there. How we doing?
Could you do the riff too, Brad?
That'd be great. Also, so resident fan as well for myself, and I have seats this season. The prorated price that I got for this game, and I didn't take them because I'm covering the hockey game, but the price for my seats for this game for the pair was $192.
What's the normal price?
I mean, I haven't even looked after
you
that.
You're just throwing. But you're making it rain all over town. Yeah, whatever.
Well, I didn't buy them. I don't want to be that guy that buys them and tries to flip them. Like, I just don't want to be that guy.
Resell them, is what you're saying.
No, yeah, I think I would do that later on for sure.
Right, but you don't know what your season tickets cost?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. For my whole season, it was 700 and some change. So when people have said it's half the price of that, yeah. I mean, in certain seats, yeah. And in some cases, I bet people are selling them for about $1,000 too.
700 some for how many games?
Oh my gosh! Like, I haven't even counted, to be honest, Joe. It's a long season. They play until October, right?
Before the show ends, I want you to do the math on per game ticket as compared to this, so we can have exact numbers. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time! This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes!
Unbelievable. He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, my best, I got to go with the Tennessee men's basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm taking a little bit of a liberty.
GP Joe!
That's right. Taking a little bit of a liberty, including the Auburn game last week. But, you know, basically in an 8-day span, they come back with this crazy win over Auburn, Dalton Connect with 39. They go into Alabama, an amazing atmosphere, game day, primetime Saturday night, number one offense in the country, completely stifle that offense, you know, without a bucket for 9 minutes and 3 seconds, win that game, and then they just lock it up last night to win the SEC outright. Just a championship team, just a great team, a great Tennessee team in any sport, and the rest of this month is going to be a ton of fun. My worst in sports, Darren Revelle.
Okay.
I don't know Darren personally, but he has a lot of interesting stuff. You know, he covers the business of sport, so I think, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. When Caitlin Clark declared that she was going to the NBA,
WNBA.
Yeah, sorry, WNBA. Well, are we sure?
I don't know.
Yes, when Caitlin Clark declares she's going to the WNBA, Darren. My God, I got Dalton on the brain. Darren
Carlos
Revelle.
Messi.
Carlos Revelle is really angry at me. He tweeted like she's taking this huge pay cut, right? And then everybody ratioed him, including me. I think I quote tweeted him and said, stop embarrassing yourself. Like, so this is someone who covers sports, business.
Yeah.
She did not take money from the collective. Her money is all from endorsements that I promise you will continue. She's got Jake from State Farm at her games, bro.
Yeah.
She's got – and and then yesterday he triples down on his stupidity. It's like, Darren, all these people are showing you. Here's news reports that detail she's not getting collective money at Iowa. She's getting her own endorsements because they are so freaking rich. She's a millionaire. Shut up, Darren. That's my worst in sports.
Oh, and by the way, she's going to actually be paid in the WNBA. There is that, too.
Well, right. Well, his whole thing was basically like her endorsements, I guess at some point somebody reported at $800,000. And like her WNBA salary was like $80,000. Like, cutting. But it's like, but these endorsements are going to still be there. This is not Iowa collective money. And they keep telling him, and he keeps tweeting about it. Stop it. Sorry.
Nick Keiser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I love having a rant before the actual rant. There you go. Good job, Joe. My best would be the Predators streak. I liked that they were able to band all together, and it was fun to see that one start in St. Louis for sure, but Jared taking credit for it. I could do the same, but who
that
cares? So the Preds ultimately, you know, they lost in overtime, but hey, you know what? That streak is a great one to have right now for the time of the season where we thought this team could have been sellers. So good for them. The worst, and we've kind of touched on this already, but Ryan Johansson being moved on by the Colorado Avalanche. He's also on waivers currently after that move. So I know that we'll dive into that a little bit later for sure, but yeah, not looking good for Joey, and this last year's been very rough for a guy that also got hurt last, February, right? Late
February,
January?
March, yeah, 1-2, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So not a good year for Joey, so we'll see how it pans out for him.
My best thing in sports is the NHL trade deadline. It fired up yesterday. Johansson was a part of it, but there are a lot of moves made yesterday. We're going to get more specifically into that coming up here in just a few minutes, but it kind of feels like once it gets rolling, I mean, it's wave after wave after wave at the deadline. And I love the NHL trade deadline. I love the NBA trade deadline. It just, there's a lot of things that happen every year. So really excited over the next couple of days to see what all goes down at the NHL trading deadline. My worst thing in sports, just some of the reaction to the combine stuff. Like now people are just picking apart Keon Coleman. Hey, look, I have no idea how good Keon Coleman is going to be at the NFL level, but I mean, the guy is 6'4" and ran a 4.6 40, and now people are all over 4.6. I mean, that guy might as well not even line up in the league. 4.6.
Jared wants no part of him. Go away.
And I was like, okay. I mean, I get it. You'd like to see him run a little faster. He is also 6'4", so I'd keep that in mind. And last year, he caught 50 balls for 658 yards and had 11 touchdowns. Is he going to be a good player in the NFL? I have no idea, but I still probably would rely a little bit more on the tape than the 4.6 40.
And all the other testing, which is actually off the charts. Yeah. Jerry Rice ran a 4.6. Just saying. That's a good one.
Joe Rexroth says Keon Coleman will be Jerry Rice in the NFL. Headline from today.
Exactly. He was at, by the way, Keon Coleman was back at Michigan State in a Steven Izzo jersey last night. Yeah, that's good for him. Brady had a good one. Cody Glass, you know, is his best.
Good.
And then worst, a goal scoring stanchions. That's a good worst.
That was good.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get into the NHL trading deadline. A lot of trades being made yesterday. Will the Predators get involved soon? Or are they going to stand pat? We'll get into that. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards will join us at 7:15 with the Preds taking on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.